because I begin a gospel meeting next Sunday at the Southern Hills Church in Franklin, Tennessee, Judy and I will not be here for the services next Sunday or for the fellowship with the pals next Sunday night after church. And so David and Kathy and Katie and Nathan, I'd like to take just a moment tonight to express our best wishes to you as you go to preach at the North Jackson Church. We appreciate all the good that David and Kathy and the family has done while here. I appreciate David for many reasons and Kathy for many reasons. But I think I appreciate the attitude that they take toward the family and toward the rearing of their children as much as anything about them. And David and Kathy, Judy and I wish you Godspeed in everything that you do. Our service tonight is a bit different. For those of you who are visiting with us, our service is intended tonight to honor those who have lived together as husband and wife for at least 50 years, and also let those who have reached the golden wedding anniversary more or less teach the lesson tonight. First, I'd like to ask every person in the audience who's been married 50 years or more, and that includes widows and widowers who were married 50 years before the spouse died, I'd like to ask you to raise your hands. All of those who've been married 50 years or more. We appreciate you and the examples that you have set. Now I'd like to ask this, all of you who had parents who reached 50 years or more, please raise your hand. All right. My grandparents on both sides lived together 64 years. My dad and mother lived together 60 years. Judy and I have almost 9 more years to reach that, although I'm sure it seems to her that it has been at least 50. Back a few weeks ago, I asked our members who had reached the 50th wedding anniversary to write out some of the reasons why they believed they were able to live together for 50 years. And tonight I want to share some of those ideas with you. For the first few minutes, I simply want to read some of the things that have been written, and then I'd like to draw some points from those somewhat in summary to make our lesson this evening. These are thoughts presented by those who are members of the congregation here who have reached the golden wedding anniversary. I'm not going to read everything that was said, although everything that was said would be worthwhile, but try to select some things from each of these that will give us a variety. Some of you said, as would be expected, the very same things. We vowed always to put Christ and the church first in our lives, and we did. I wanted to begin with that one because I was, I guess, amazed at how many of these mentioned something about putting God first as being a very important factor in reaching the 50 years. The thing that held us together for 50 years was love. And then they said, our love for the church, our love for lost souls, and our love for each other. Did you notice how the spiritual side was tied with this? Praying together, studying God's Word together. The word together popped up in these suggestions again and again. Showing love to each other in many ways. Being as polite to each other as we were when we were dating. Finding time to be alone together. Touching. Hugs, kisses, holding hands, and so forth. Complimenting each other often. Taking care of our money together. I've always noticed that in most relationships, one or the other tends to take care of the bills and paying them, and I especially liked this one, taking care of our money together. We were taught while we were young that marriage is for life. And it's interesting to note that several of the things that are suggested have to do with what is done before marriage, as well as during the married life together. We wanted to help each other go to heaven. I think that one could just about preach the entire lesson tonight by itself. I have heard some of you younger mothers and fathers say, we are trying to teach our sons and daughters in such a way that they can go to heaven and help someone else go to heaven. The one who said that said, we were Christians when we married. That may be more important than we tend to think. We were Christians when we married. Being married to Christ and taking God with you into marriage is extremely important. We learn to be unselfish. Isn't that a key point? We learn to say, I'm sorry. And now there are different ways to say, I'm sorry. But I would think in this case that they learned to say it and to mean it. I remember the book and a movie that was made from it a few years ago that said, love means never having to say, I'm sorry. That's about as far from God's word as you can get. Love means being able to say, I'm sorry. And it's interesting that the next statement was, we learn to forgive and forget. You know, we talk a lot about losing our memory as we get older. Perhaps we need to learn our forgettery and how to forget things that need to be forgotten, and there may be times that losing the memory is good. This one said, common faith. Common interest, shared similar family values. All three of those emphasize the idea of being able to have things in common and being able to share similar family values. Equally aware of the financial status or status at all times. Even if both are not involved in the day-to-day basis, this one said equally aware of the financial status at all times, putting God and Christ and the church first. Here is a suggestion that is somewhat interesting. Love an association of people of all ages. Association with people of all ages contributed to a long life together. Someone else said, love, trust, respect, forgiveness, and again, putting God first. Someone else said, helping the wife to be able to be at home as much as possible and be there for the children. Another one said, adjusting our living standard to our means. Sometimes, young folks, it's hard to adjust our means to our living standard. But notice this said, adjusting our living standard to keep it within our means. Another thing that was said is that we raised our family as a team. I believe that's a key. Sometimes parents, in rearing their children, will get to the point that especially we fathers may expect the mothers to do most of it. And sometimes the mothers will tell the children, when dad gets home, he'll take care of it. And we tend to leave the responsibility one to the other. I really appreciated this statement. We reared or raised our family as a team. Another said, practicing love on a daily basis. Unselfishness, again mentioned, being practiced in the home. Patience during tribulations. Not living for material gain. You notice how many times that pops up in these lists? Another said having the same goals in life, spiritually and materially. Sometimes there's a tendency to think that though there are differences between two people, that we'll just go ahead and marry and we'll take care of these differences, and there may be some differences that can be overcome. But notice the emphasis on having the same goals in life, spiritually and materially. And I'd just like to comment on the first part of that, that even when two people are both members of the church, they sometimes have a great difference in their goals, spiritually speaking. In being involved in the church to different degrees, being involved in other ways to different degrees, having the same goals in life, spiritually and materially. This one said, having a sense of humor. Laughter helps. Have fun. I like that suggestion, don't you? I believe that God intended the relationship between the husband and wife to be a touch of heaven on earth. And I think whoever wrote this had that same idea, a sense of humor. If you can learn to laugh with each other, not at each other, but with each other, and share times like that in having fun. Having a great respect for others' likes, dislikes, and feelings. In other words, being sensitive to the attitudes and the desires and the feelings of one's mate. Faithful in church attendance and other spiritual growth programs. Taking time to nourish and strengthen our love by having specific times and date nights that are ours. Now, you wives that are here that have been married 50 years or more, you go home tonight and tell your husband that we said he ought to take you out on a date sometime this week. And if he has any trouble arranging that, see me and I'll try to help him. But basically saying in those points, learning to continue to have the same respect and desires in showing politeness and love after we're married as we do when we are preparing for marriage. We have jokingly said, and there may be too much truth in it, that you can look at where two people are sitting in the car and determine whether or not they're married. If they're both over under the steering wheel, they're dating. If he's against the left door and she's against the right, they're married. And it's a shame that there's too much truth in that. We were mature enough to know what we were doing and what was expected when we married. In our marriage, we have graciously accepted our different roles. That may be one of the most important ones that's been mentioned tonight. We as husbands and fathers need to be sure that we don't try to take the place of a wife and mother, and wives and mothers need to be sure that they don't try to take the place of the husband and father. Now, I don't mean by that we shouldn't help each other. I believe, and I'll probably make some enemies when I say this, that we husbands need to learn to wash dishes. Not by ourselves. The wives ought to help us a little every once in a while. We need to learn to do anything that's the other's role in order to be able to do it when we can. But we need to learn to respect the different roles in the marriage relationship. And then I appreciated this one. This is the only time that it was said in all of these. We have tried to remain attractive to each other. You remember when we were dating? Did we look to see if our hair was combed and our shoes shined and things of that nature? And yet so many times after we're married, we forget that. We have tried to remain attractive to each other is something that is extremely important. I was handed by someone a list that I believe Brother Milton Sewell used in a Wednesday night class here not too long ago. And this is something that appeared in Good Housekeeping magazine. A contest was run. What has made your marriage successful in 50 words or less? The couple that won were from Talladega, Alabama, Patty and Dylan Bays, and here is what they wrote. And I think it's worth sharing, even though it was not given by some of our folks here. We gave when we wanted to receive. We served when we wanted to feast. We shared when we wanted to keep. We listened when we wanted to talk. We submitted when we wanted to reign. We forgave when we wanted to remember. And we stayed when we wanted to leave. I believe that's one of the best concise summaries of what we've been saying tonight that I have seen. Now, based upon what I have shared with you that was written by our members who have reached the 50-year place in life, being married, I want to sort of sum up and suggest to you what I see in what they have said. I believe there are three A's that have been mentioned. One is attractiveness, two is attention, and three is adjustment. Now you think about those three for a moment. I believe we could take those three and have a pretty good sermon. Attractiveness. If you've been married 75 years, still be concerned about being attractive to your mate. I'll guarantee you that some things have changed, but the principle involved has not. And if there is a reason to be attractive, to be concerned about neatness and cleanliness and appearance, and especially how we look to the one with whom we spend more time than anybody else, if that is important before we're married, of how much more importance is it after we're married? Attractiveness. Number two, attention. It is so easy for us, and I think we men have more of a problem with this than the women, to become so involved in everything else that we forget to give attention to the one we say we love more than anybody else. When you're dating, telephone rings again and again. You just cannot spend enough time together. You just cannot show enough attention. When we're married, do we sometimes forget that? Isn't it just as important or more important to pick up the phone and call the spouse when we're away from each other? To take time to say something, as indicated previously in some of these, that's complimentary? To pay attention? It is dangerous, men, when we allow ourselves to get to the point that we notice the hairstyle and the dress of everybody else and do not see the hairstyle and the dress of the spouse. And spouses, help us to notice the hairstyle and the dress. Attention, a little bit of attention. Couple was getting a divorce, and the wife said that one of the reasons she was getting the divorce was lack of appearance and lack of communication. She said, "He never tells me that he loves me." And he spoke up and said, "Judge, I told her 40 years ago that I loved her, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let her know." Attention, attractiveness and attention and adjustment. We've emphasized how important it is to see as many things alike as we can as preparation is going on for marriage. But even with all the likenesses that we have, there are going to be some differences. And there will be differences in attitudes toward a lot of things in life, whether we've been married 2 years, 20 years, or 50 years or more. But being able to adjust is one of the most important characteristics in life. I remember a story that I heard one time that I think really underscores this point. A Christian woman was married to a man who was not a Christian. He traveled a lot in his business, and he came home and said, "We need to go on a trip, and I want you to go with me, but it's going to involve a Sunday." It would have been easy for her to have said, "Well, now I have to go to worship, and I've got to stay here, and if you're going on a trip that involves a Sunday, I'll just have to stay at home." But here's what she said. She said, I do need to worship God on the Lord's Day. And if you will help me find a time and a place to worship God where I can go to worship on Sunday, I would just love to go with you and spend the rest of the time with you for this week. He was glad to do that. You see, there were some differences here, even one of them a Christian and one not. But they were each willing to adjust to the situation so that each one could do what they wanted to, what he or she wanted to do. And they could be together on that trip. Attention, attractiveness, and adjustment. And then I believe there are three things that were said in these letters, or whatever you want to call them tonight, that start with the letter T. One is touch, one is time, and one is together. Touch, don't forget to show expressions of love. Time, spend time together. Do as many things together, and folks, that's just as important at the 50-year mark and 60-year mark as it is earlier in life. In some ways, I guess we're where we can spend more time together as we get into those later years. But spending time together, and then let's emphasize that together, doing things together. Did you notice in the passage that Brother Rogers read? And Brother Rogers is one of those that's reached the 50-year mark, he and Sister Rogers. He read that passage where it talks about the idea that we're one, no more twain, but one. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. If we can ever get across that idea that the two become one in every sense of the word, do things together, especially spend time together and learn the importance of touching. Three T's, time, touch, together. Three A's, attractiveness, attention, and adjustment. I was impressed as I read these about how much emphasis was placed on preparation. A large number of you in the audience tonight are not yet married. You're in that preparatory state. And it is so important, as indicated by these who have been married 50 years or more, it is so important to prepare. And so many of you still have opportunity to do that. I was also impressed with the idea of mutual respect. As I read these, especially all the things that were said, I could just see that sort of oozing out of each letter that was given to me. Mutual respect. That is extremely important. But I was also impressed in almost everyone that responded to the request with the idea that the husband and wife should put each other in second place in life. You didn't expect me to say it like that, but that's exactly what was said. In second place with God first. I believe the one thing that just sort of stands out with everything else that has been said and suggested tonight is that marriage will be successful when God is number one and the spouse is number two, and there are no exceptions to that. God is number one and the spouse is number two, first among all people, but second to God. Because you see, when we put God first and we look at this marriage manual, the best marriage manual that's ever been written, we can meet the difficult times, and there may be some of them. We can enjoy the good times, and there will be many of them. And we can reach that silver and gold, and in a few cases, maybe even the diamond, 75 years of marriage together. When we put God first and the spouse second with no exceptions. I appreciate all of our people who've been married 50 years and more. And I appreciate their help in the presentation tonight. I think we've had a lot of food for thought. And I hope that I've been able to present it in a way that all of us will go home with a better and clearer understanding of the happiness that God wants us to have in our marriage relationships that can be happy and can be long. when we put God first and the spouse second, with no exceptions. Now let's come back to that putting God first. That means becoming a Christian and living a Christian life. If you are not married tonight, there is nothing that you can do that's more important in preparation for marriage and the home than being a Christian. Not just calling yourself one, being a Christian. And if you are married, there is nothing that will help you be a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, a better son, or a better daughter in that family also than being a Christian. That's putting God first. And so the bottom line of it all is, let's put God first. Put the spouse second, but put God first in everything we do. If you've not put Him first in your life and you need to come to be baptized into Christ or to be restored as a child of His, come as together we stand and sing.